Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Artificial intelligence is changing the insurance industry, helping companies streamline processes, detect fraud, and even set prices. But with AI innovation comes some concerns about bias, data security, and transparency. In Delaware, a new bulletin from State Insurance Commissioner Trinidad Navarro lays out how insurers can use AI while complying with consumer protection laws. It also serves as a warning. AI can't be used to sidestep existing regulations, and policyholders still have the same rights to fairness, privacy, and transparency in their coverage. This week, I sat down with Navarro to discuss the use of AI in insurance and what this new guidance means for both insurers and policyholders. So let's start with an overview of AI in the insurance industry so people have a little bit of a sense of what we're talking about. Let's start with the positives. How does AI improve the insurance process for both insurers and policyholders?
Well, quite frankly, it makes the process easier in theory. When I say in theory, meaning that, today you can do a lot of the claims processing over your cell phone or your computer. I'm hesitant to say how much better it can potentially make things. If it's used properly, I think it's great. It is certainly more convenient for consumers. Our concern and the primary reason behind the bulletin is to ensure that it's not used in a way that's improper. The truth is insurance regulators, old ones like myself who've been around a long time, are really good at enforcing our rules and regulations, just the overall regulatory process, right? I mean, I've learned from some of the best, but some of those best who I learned from do not completely understand technology. I don't know if our own government understands the complexities and the challenges with artificial intelligence. And so this bulletin that we release is sort of a guideline to ensure that this AI is not used in a way that's potentially harmful to consumers.
I was going to say, what are some of the specific risks or challenges that you and other insurance commissioners and other regulators have seen with AI or anticipate that AI could present?
Well, I mean, we all know a computer itself is an inanimate object. It cannot make decisions based off of it can't be biased, right? But the folks who program it or design it can, whether it's inherent or, accidentally, right? If it has certain biases in that algorithm that no one completely understands, it could have the ability to redline people. So, it presents a risk to consumers for things like, potential accuracy or inaccuracy. If you use ChatGPT or other AI programs, and you put certain information in, if that information that is available is accurate, then it's great. But oftentimes it's not necessarily accurate, so it's not necessarily great. So we think that there's a potential for unfair discrimination. We think there's a potential for data vulnerability. And then sort of the lack of transparency and explainability as to how this data is collected and used in a way that's not unfairly discriminatory. And that's our biggest challenge is to make sure that in the underwriting process that everyone's treated fairly, to make sure that people aren't being redlined. These computers can look up Joe and see that Joe's a white male who works for a radio station, who drives a Volvo, who prescribes to certain magazines or certain subscriptions online. And so they can determine whether or not, based off of that data, whether they want to insure someone or whether they charge one person more for the same coverage as someone else. And, we took steps back in 2018 to protect people from not allowing insurance companies to use things like credit score or marital status or age or employment or zip code. And so we were able to, they can use credit, but you have to give them permission and only in a way that can benefit consumers. Well, with these new algorithms that people don't completely understand, there's that opportunity for that information to be biased and unfair for consumers.
So with all this in mind, you know, what prompted this specific bulletin at this time, and how did some of these things that you're talking about kind of inform how you crafted this bulletin and what was in it?
As a member of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, there is a whole committee that's dedicated to innovation. It's dedicated to the newest and latest greatest computer programs, things that quite frankly I don't completely understand, but I'm a member of that task force. And so other states across the country have adopted this model bulletin so that insurance companies can know what they can and cannot do. So, you know, we do bulletins for everything from cybersecurity to protecting, you know, your data. And so this was just another bulletin that, you know, it was sort of long overdue because the insurance industry has been using this sort of artificial intelligence for a while. So we're, as regulators, we're actually playing catch up.
Can you talk a little bit about how this bulletin and I guess specifically the requirement in it that insurers have an AIS or artificial intelligence systems program helps ensure that AI doesn't violate or use of AI doesn't violate some of these existing consumer protection laws?
Well, you know, we have to rely often on consumer complaints in some cases because if you, for example, were denied coverage or denied a claim, we wouldn't know if you didn't tell us, right? I mean, the consumer has to reach out to their regulator to inform us of this potential violation. And that's how we get involved. And that's how we identify companies that are conducting prohibited practices. So it really is a partnership between the community and the regulators, you know, to make sure that insurance companies are fulfilling their obligations. So when we see and have reports of a certain conduct that's prohibited, that's how we get involved. And that's how we do interrogatories and market conduct examinations of insurance companies. And that's how we uncover really large scam or frauds, not necessarily the right terminology, but they're violations, large violations of our Title 18, which is the insurance code in Delaware. And so it's sort of a partnership between us and the community to be able to identify these types of actions that are being taken by insurance companies.
So have you already seen some issues that have come to your office's attention that are kind of more or less addressed in this bulletin in some way, shape, or form?
We have seen issues with data security. Mm-hmm. We have seen data breaches on a large scale that impacted more than half the country. And then on, you know, smaller scale where, you know, a laptop computer would be stolen from an agent's trunk or backseat of their car. And so insurance companies, both large and small, have to take steps to protect your identity and take steps to notify the regulators when there is an actual breach. And, you know, we would rather be notified by an insurance company if they have, say, a breach in the Mid-Atlantic region. Mm-hmm. So they don't know for sure if Delaware policyholders were impacted, but they tell us anyhow. And then it's really best, you know, case scenario when it doesn't involve Delaware. But if it does, at least they fulfill their obligation with respect to notifying us within the time period, which is just three business days. So, you know, there haven't necessarily been any violations pertaining to this specific model bulletin, but it's more of a number of bulletins and regulations that we constantly are reminding not just the community, but the industry as well, to make sure that they're aware that we are these rules are in place and primarily to protect consumers, but in many cases, they protect the industry as well.
I was going to say, with that in mind, are there some things in this bulletin that you're requiring of insurers to make sure that they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's? What are you asking them to do in this bulletin to make sure that they're you know, keeping up, just like you're trying to keep up with what artificial intelligence can do?
It sounds sort of elementary, but know what your program is doing. Right. So you cannot make the excuse that, well, we didn't know, or we didn't understand, or, you know, it wasn't intended to operate in such a manner. So they're responsible for the software. They're responsible for third party administrators who work with this, you know, it could be any line of insurance, but they're responsible for their data. And so it really spells out what they're responsible to do, but also any potential violations that may occur. So it really is it's informative for the industry, and to make sure that they're policing themselves. And you know, that's the best scenario, because when any regulator gets involved with the practices of an insurance company, it's unpleasant. And it's unpleasant mostly for the industry, because when we get involved, there's an investigation. We always find something, and it could be something as insignificant as maybe the wrong mailing address for the Department of Insurance, right? I mean, this is a real scenario where people were sending information out to consumers, and they were giving information about the Delaware Department of Insurance, but using the old address, right? So, you know, they're responsible for what comes in and out of their office, their correspondence with the community. And so it really is making sure that they keep themselves policed before we actually get involved.
With that in mind, in terms of enforcement, based on what you said earlier, it sounds like any kind of enforcement would be based on complaints that come in from people suspicious that maybe somehow there's a bias that may be connected to something, whether it's AI or something else, that would prompt then what you were talking about, some kind of investigation or inquiry by your office. Is that accurate, correct?
Yes. Typically, investigations of any nature are generated through consumer inquiries or consumer complaints. But as a member of this task force, we share information across the country. And so if something's happening in Pennsylvania, for example, there's a good chance it's happening in Delaware as well. I mean, we learned some really hard lessons with the Change Healthcare data breach. And so that's still part of an ongoing, active, large-scale market conduct examination. Because although it may not necessarily have anything to do specifically with artificial intelligence, they had the obligation to protect our data. Mm-hmm. And when I say our data, I mean our data, meaning that many of us across the country were impacted by that. And so that was, we determined when that occurred based off of a report from the industry, but they weren't truthful. In other words, they were like, well, we weren't sure if personal health information was stolen, when it turned out to be over a terabyte of information that was stolen. And they knew. And they knew right away what was taken, but they just kind of weren't real truthful with regulators. So there'll be a significant penalty surrounding that. But again, not necessarily involving artificial intelligence, but it does point to the fact that they're obligated to protect our identity. And they do that through multiple programs that they use that, you know, we're still catching up to.
How important is working with other states in this way to getting the best results in terms of making sure, as I said earlier, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed by insurers?
Well, it's critically important to work with our brothers and sisters across the country. There's 56 commissioners. That's in the 50 states and the 6 territories. And so each commissioner, in many cases, has an expertise. You know, mine is in fraud. You know, I chair the anti-fraud task force. So when other states have issues with fraudulent companies with fraudulent practices, they come to me. When we have issues with artificial intelligence, we go to the commissioner from Maryland, or the commissioner, she's from Rhode Island, Beth Dwyer, right? So we have experts in different facets of the insurance industry among our peers. And so typically those experts chair these committees that we're all members of.
So what do you see going forward in terms of challenges on the AI landscape? I mean, obviously, this is kind of an initial step to try and, as you said, make sure that insurers are kind of policing themselves. You know, beyond that, what do you see as some of the challenges on kind of just keeping up with this type of technology?
Well, I think that regulators across the country are not computer programmers, right? And we don't understand necessarily the complexities of the algorithms and other methods that are incorporated in these types of artificial intelligence. So it's transforming the industry, and it's been deployed across all stages of the insurance lifestyle, presenting both opportunities and risks. I know we talked about opportunities earlier, but we're really putting this notice out so that insurers will make sure their systems don't circumvent our existing regulatory standards, and that they must take all steps possible to ensure that no consumer harm is created. That's the reality of this industry is insured is made whole based off of what's spelled out in their policy, consumers are almost always harmed because industry will say, well, you know, we think you're 50% at fault for this claim, even though the other half was cited, you know, got a ticket, right? We're found to be at fault for the collision. But the industry will say things like that to consumers, and consumers often think that they have to take it. And that gets back to how I mentioned the partnership with the community, because that's not necessarily the case. And if they, you know, consumers should use their own spider senses, if you will, to, you know, if it sounds like there's a problem, it doesn't fit what they believe is in their policy, to call us right away. It doesn't cost you anything to call our department. According to the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, in the U.S. last year, the loss for insurance fraud was about $308 billion. $308 billion. And that's not cumulative, that's annual. And so, you know, the industry themselves have to protect themselves, but sometimes they go too far.
And I imagine going forward that this is going to be something that you and your fellow insurance commissioners will be revising and revisiting fairly often, because technology changes so quickly.
It does. This is, we're, I think, the 21st state to issue this bulletin. And I know that other states are coming together to, you know, each state has their own, we're all state-based regulators, so we're all a little bit different. So each bulletin for each state has to be tweaked a little bit so it's compliant with the code in that state. So that's primarily why, for the most part, not all states are already part of this or incorporated the bulletin. It's all a work in progress. And it is a never-ending work in progress, because the technology is changing so rapidly that, you know, some of these companies are purchasing the latest and greatest, and by the time they have it implemented, it's already outdated.
Thanks to Insurance Commissioner Trinidad Navarro for joining me on The Green this week. Stay with us. We hear from the co-directors of the University of Delaware Disaster Research Center on why local communities are often the first line of defense in a crisis. That's next here on The Green on Delaware Public Media.